the focus on food is very valid. It is the beginning of all thanks. And actually, in the spiritual world, food, being the highest blessing, the highest form of furthering the creation, of allowing consciousness to grow and percolate, you want to please Baba, you go feed the hungry. For sure. He says it over and over and over. He fed, personally. He fed. Through his life. When he was the mad fakir that nobody could stand. Very few could get through that illusion. And his energy and his processes, whatever he was. He was feeding people. He was begging, but he was also feeding people. He was feeding the nature. He always fed the nature. He didn't have a meal without sharing it with, like, the literally the dogs and the cats and the crows. Can you imagine? That's his commitment to sharing food. That's his understanding. The Buddha is attributed to have said, once you understand the power of sharing your food with another, you will never eat alone again. Swami quoted that way, Buddha. So food, yes, powerful God mechanism. We know how that is when we feed an animal, ourselves. We have a pet. Isn't that one of the nice things about having a pet? Is feeding our pet, right? Is that act of like being in that place and then that pet's gratitude and then enjoying that pet eating. People go to the parks and they do this. They throw crackers to birds. They don't know. They never see that bird again, you know? But they'll do it and they'll make a connection and they'll feel better in their hearts. Of course, the bird feels better. Sometimes the pigeons are like fat. So many people are connecting to them that way. But the point here is soul mechanisms, God stuff running, whenever there's food involved. Especially when there's food involved and hunger is there. The most especial, really. So in that way, we are talking about something valuable in Thanksgiving, and we're getting together with value. And actually, it's ironic. Not ironic, it's perfect. In the Kali Yuga, in the Sai Yuga transition, in this apocalyptic time of transformation where everything stares you straight in the face. Whatever's there in this illusion is going to come up and it's going to look at you. It's going to show us collectively and individually. It is showing us. Whatever that self-identity is, that egoism is, whatever. And collectively now, in America, we've never had more hunger since I don't know when. I don't really care about the decades, how many decades. It's like decades and decades. And in terms of absolute numbers, it might be for any time because it's so big. The numbers are so big. The mother's hitting. Not the mother, we're not going to say that. It's the negativity, it's the collective negativity of the planet is hitting, the collective negativity of this country and of whatever, the collected people in this country put together. But it looks like tens of millions of people with not enough to eat, tens of millions now. We just need to acknowledge that on this Thanksgiving. For sure, in Datta lineage, in the lineage of Shirdi Sai Baba, absolutely, we will acknowledge that today. We have to. And these are the marginalized. These are not the part of our society that gets the news, gets the attention at all. The news cycle passes this by very quickly. But everybody's seen the lines of the cars, miles long lines of cars. Everybody's seen that. But you just see it and it goes away, right? It evaporates from our minds. But it's our job. Like Swami said, if you don't take care of the humanity, you're not eligible to know God. His exact words, many different ways, his exact sentiment. I should say. You're not eligible. If we cannot take care of humanity, if we can't open our hearts and share the pain of the world as human beings. Now I'm not talking as supernatural third eye characters doing soul to soul healing through pure consciousness and the five elements. No, this is upstream from that. It's upstream. You know, before our taking care of our family karmas and our spiritual things, we have to take care of a few people around us. We have to. It is required in the divine court. You don't even get in the door. You don't even get to watch from the press seat or whatever it is without that kind of commitment, that kind of understanding and knowing about what is the karmas, what is the connection of all the souls, all the souls, all the souls. We are all the souls. We start there. We can't save the world. We can't save all the souls. We can't stop all the physical suffering. But at the level of hunger, at the level of shelter, at the level of clothing, at that level of existence, yeah, we are obligated to do whatever we can, you know, within the realms of the boundaries of our own modesty, our own modest accommodations. So, pay attention to the hunger in the communities around you, wherever you are. For sure, look at it, look for it. It won't be hard to find, but it's not going to be advertised in the paper or on the website. It's not sexy and exciting. It's not selling anything to talk about hunger. And it's really, really now, in the beginning of this winter, it's just it's the shade of the suffering that we're focusing on this Thanksgiving Day. Always remembering we're connected and the why we're here. Our enlightenment makes no sense, really. Our own suffering makes no sense. Our own suffering for enlightenment, whatever that is to you, makes no sense if it ignores the suffering, the human suffering, the normal world, the animal societal suffering of the world that we live inside. That's also a fundamental God principle. So, whatever we can do in our minds and in our lives to help, we should. Swami went to amazing lengths to rectify hunger around him. Truly, that story should be written up beautifully somehow. We can put that together at the food camps, the year of the massive difficulties, drought and social, whatever the change is happening there in that part of AP state in India, but drought primarily. But tens of thousands of people were starving along with their animals or just moving around trying to find food somewhere. It's true. And when Swami heard about this, it was in the paper. And when he heard about it, he just pretty much put everything aside until that was solved in the ashram. Truly. He went, he called the government, and the government was not going to do anything. They had already been ignoring it. And so he started a campaign with the politicians that he knew and the power structure in India that he knew behind the scenes, because he was very unbelievably networked in that way, amazing devotees. But at the same time, on the worldly level, he found land near the ashram on the backside of the mountain that was unused, and he got the owner to commit to let it be used for nothing, for free. And then he paid for the cost of drilling a well, and they hit water immediately in a drought. And then they set up a camp, a feeding camp, for all these people. 15,000 people. 15,000 people came in less than a few days. They're already there. They're already all around starving. There are also accommodations for the animals. It was something, really, to drive through that camp. They fed one meal a day. Huge pots, massive Indian style, like massive event stuff. I don't know how many gallons. 500 gallon, maybe, cooking pot or something. 100 gallon. Rice, just simple meals. Driving through on both sides, just people living with their animals. During this time, Sri Kaleshwar convinced the government to make a policy, a humanity policy, to sell rice to anybody who needs it for 1 rupee per kilo. Basically giving it away, or 5 rupees. But basically it was just almost symbolic that you were paying. It was essentially subsidizing rice for the whole state. That happened because of Sri Kaleshwar's efforts at this time, underneath, behind the scenes. Later, that policy came to bring a whole party into power and was adopted by the national government in India. This is true. Everything I'm saying is 100% true. I am a great devotee and fan of Swami Kaleshwar. That's true. But I'm not making up anything that I'm saying about this story. It's incredible. It's incredible. That commitment. He used all the money in the ashram that was available. He collected as much money as the Westerners in the ashram would give him for it, too. After that first visit he took a bunch of us out there to see it, to see the feeding one evening. Women on one side of the road, men on one side of the road. All carrying like a bowl as big as they can, because that's their meal. You know, like huge, like a salad bowl. That's what they're taking in. And they could fill it up. Yes, Baba was there. But in the background, way in the background, just a little picture. That was a big picture. But it was, the feeding station was at an abandoned mansion, you know, that on this piece of property that hadn't been used for decades. Just a kind of ramshackle old mansion. The kitchen was outside that. There was a picture of Baba in the back of the kitchen, but where you got served the food, no, you didn't see any. There was not anything like Baba's helping you, God is great, something like that. No, 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 no. That would be an insult to those people, to teach them about God when they're starving. That's also straightly a teaching from the palm leaves and from our teacher, from our guru. Jai Guru. Jai Guru.